both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds. They are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL, the college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only be talking the truth, only be talking the truth, ayy. You know it's Taz and Moose, you know it's Taz and Moose, ayy.
Taz and the Moose with you here on this Monday morning. Coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Mike Pete across the way. Bogus, your updates. As we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 1 hour down, two to play with. Sirius XM channel 206, the app as well. And make sure to download that podcast each and every day. Radio.com, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. As we continue to run around the Sunday that was week 11 in the National Football League. And staying that NFC East, Taz, is that, the Philadelphia Eagles might have a quarterback problem because, you know, Carson Wentz, we talked about his struggles, you know, a week ago, and he has not played particularly well this year. Yesterday, 33 of 45, 256 yards, a touchdown, two interceptions. He struggled once again. And I get there's not a great ground game to lean on, and really his big weapons, DeSean Jackson out, Alshon Jeffrey out, Jordan Matthews, who they just brought back in, out. He's got Ertz. Yeah, I mean, yeah. But he's got one player. I mean, he's got Zach Ertz. Right, he's got Greg Ward, Dallas Goedert, I should say, the other tight end.
Yeah, yeah.
Matthews did play, I should say, yesterday. Miles Sanders did have three receptions, but he was missing three receivers yesterday.
That's all.
Out of the fold. I mean, you know, Nelson Aguilar, I should say, was the other receiver.
That's the guy, yeah.
So he was missing, you know, your three starting receivers to begin the year. Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, and DeSean Jackson, you know, they were all out. I mean, that's a problem for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, you want to say, okay, Carson Wentz is struggling because they're out? Or is this a bigger issue surrounding Carson Wentz?
Well, I think first
how do you look at it?
I think with yesterday's game, I mean, you're playing against a really good team in the Seahawks. Right?
Not a great defense, though.
Right, but still, right, okay, right, fair enough, fair point, no doubt. I mean, I don't know. I said this last week, I think it was, and I watching the second half of the Eagles game, and I felt the same way. I felt like, man, what the heck? Like, watching Wentz last week closely, I'm like, man, this guy, it's the fourth quarter, and he's missing important throws left and right in the fourth quarter against the Pats, right? Yeah, they played the Pats last week, didn't they?
Yes.
The Pats, yeah. And I'm like, what is going on? And they were guys wide, like, kind of open, not wide open, and he's just not getting the ball in, not a super tight window, but a window. And he used to always be able to do that. He's a young guy. Like, I was like, ugh. And I was not exactly locked in. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Maybe he's just not, you know, he's been banged up a lot. And maybe just not feeling like himself. I'm trying to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the story is with him.
Yeah, I think they might have a little bit of a quarterback issue. A little bit of a crisis of confidence right now. Now, I think the offense would obviously look a lot more dynamic for Doug Peterson if they had all their weapons, and they don't. And it's easy to say, well, next man up. Well, there's reasons why there's starters and there's backups and there's guys that are on the street, you know, at this point of the year that you're picking up and you're plugging into the lineup. That's not exactly leading, you know, to your offense being a dynamic group. Now, with that being said, I the problem I would have is what you hinted upon there, Taz, and what you hammered home was this, is that he's missing guys and throws that he should make that he's not making.
Right.
And I'm not telling you that he's, you know, this offense is great and he's got great weapons, but the problem I have with Carson Wentz right now is it's sometimes he's holding on the football too long, and when there's throws to make, he's missing those throws.
Right.
And that's the problem I have.
Yeah, no, and it's and that that's and when you watch him play enough, I'm not saying you, but anyone listening to us that hasn't watched, maybe not an Eagles fan, or you're not watching much of the Eagles, he just doesn't. His completions, just, I'm not looking at his ratio right now, his stats, but I'm just saying, like, he misses guys. Like, he misses guys, and he's got some decent blocking at times. And it's like, it's just not happening. Like,
no.
It's just like, wow. It looks like you'd see a guy in preseason, the way he would throw a ball, even a good player like him. Like, he just, it's not like what we're used to seeing out of him. That year when he blew his knee out, he was on the cusp of being the NFL MVP, and then Brady got it. Of course, Wentz got hurt, but still, it's different.
Well, yeah, you're right. It is a little bit different in Philadelphia as they're struggling, and right now they're sitting here at 5-6 as we approach we approach week 13 of the NFL regular season, right?
I mean,
it is. You're looking at a scenario now here where you say to yourself, all right, the problem you have here with Carson Wentz is this. Is that, yes, they made the right decision. They instilled the confidence. You know, they need to get healthier, certainly, but he's got to play better at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, no, you need him to play well. I mean, you know, you're not loaded with amazing offensive weapons that are healthy right now, especially like you just laid out a few minutes ago. So that's a big deal, you know, obviously. I don't know. I mean, when you even think about the Eagles and even all the stuff that happened with Nick Foles, now he's gone and blah, 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 and all that jazz. You never thought about quarterback issues. They were always pretty solid there, you know, always. And you just, I don't know, I always looked at Carson Wentz and as a guy that you never had to worry. You never had to worry how good or bad he was. I looked at him like he was a made guy. But that's not the case, and I think you're right. There is a little bit of a quarterback issue there for sure. I mean, so, you know, but what are you going to do? You're going to put in Nate Sutfeld? You're going to put in Josh McCown?
No, I'm not going to do that.
No, I know. I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They're not going to do anything of that. But, I mean, that's a bigger problem for Philadelphia because you're highly invested in Wentz. I mean, that's the problem you have. And they could all say the one thing that they have, Taz, is that they're struggling without their main weapons. So the one thing you could say is, okay, if he's got his guys, this offense looks a lot better. And he's a better player. Then you're also then looking at him as a player and you're saying, well, then you're limiting his impact of what he is then, right? And then he's not a guy that makes guys around him better. It can make kind of, you know, chicken salad at a chicken you-know-what.
Yeah.
You know, he's more of a product of the guys around him better. I thought Wentz, a product of the guys around him, and I thought Wentz was probably a little bit better than that. And that's the issue I have with Wentz. He's no longer that MVP candidate before he tore his ACL
no.
against the Rams a couple years ago. He has not played at that kind of a level. And that's the issue you'd have right now in Philadelphia with the Eagles is that, yes, I mean, they've suffered a lot of injuries. Their secondary's been ravaged. The defensive line has struggled this year. Offensive line has gone through some injuries. They don't run it as well. But the quarterback has not been able to pick and alleviate some of the issues around the team. And there are guys around the league that can alleviate some of those things. Like a Tom Brady up in New England. They don't have to be the greatest group, and he can still find a way to win games.
Right. No, I agree. I mean, listen, look, 33 of 45, 256 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions yesterday. Mike looked up. Mike, what was he, 16th in interceptions?
Yeah, with six picks.
So that's not horrible. I mean, as far as this late in the year, you know, I'm just saying the interception part.
No, it's just making the throws.
The completions,
it's
right.
The completions.
It's the lack of completions.
Well, it's missing guys that throws that he normally makes.
I know. It's when I saw it against the Pats, I'm like, I know how great the Patriots defense is, but I was still a little perplexed. I'm like, man, these guys, dude, I'm talking about the fourth quarter. Like, it was, you know, watching that game, and I'm like, what is going on with Wentz? It was a close game. They lost the game 17-10, the Eagles. But it was like he had plenty of opportunities to win that game. You know, and I'm going back a week. So, you know, but now they got a good bounce back deal coming up here. They got the Dolphins, and then they got the Giants, and then they got your Redskins. So they could actually wax up three wins right there.
Yeah, they could. And they could get healthier, and we could be having a different conversation about Carson Wentz, but he's got to get going here and stay in that NFC East and stay with quarterbacks. And how about the Washington Redskins yesterday? Beat the Detroit Lions 19-16.
There you go.
You know, an ugly football game, and Washington's 2-9. The Lions are now 3-7-1. Not one that's going to be sent to Canton, Ohio in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, chronicling the great football of 2019, Taz. But here's the... Not even in a victory can the Redskins not avoid embarrassment. I mean, the idea that, you know, the idea late in that game where you have, you know, what was it? They generated a turnover, right? Or, no, stopped them on downs, right? Get the ball back. You know, all they need to do is kneel down on it once to end the game. And the fact that their starting quarterback, Dwayne Haskins, is on the sideline taking a selfie with a fan as Case Keenum. Case Keenum has to come onto the field to take a knee.
I didn't know any of that.
Yeah. To end the game. And Haskins is not aware of the situation and not taking a knee there for his first NFL victory because he's there celebrating with the fans because he thought for some reason the game was over.
Wow.
I mean, it's embarrassing.
I did not know that.
That is completely and utterly embarrassing. Joe Theismann on Twitter going crazy, calling him out. Bill Callahan was asked about it, didn't joke around, said, we'll address it. Keenum hands him the football and said, this should have been you, like joking around with him. That's completely and utterly embarrassing. I mean, what are you doing if you're Dwayne Haskins? How are you there taking a selfie with a fan celebrating a victory? There's very few fans in attendance, and you're not on the field taking a knee in the victory formation with the team that you quarterbacked the entire day because you're not paying attention.
And you're going against a guy's defense and Matt Patricia that I understand that they're, what are they, 3-7-1 or something like that. But they're still a solid defense, and they're a solid football team. I understand they have a losing record, the Lions. My point is, that's a big moment for Haskins to be in that victory formation. That's a big deal right there, to be with your teammates, take that snap, hug it out with them all, and get that game ball. Instead, you're taking a picture. I mean, I'm laughing. It's kind of not funny, but it is. And
well, it's embarrassing. Moreau gets the interception, right? There's literally 2 seconds left in the game. And you have a scenario then where, you know, you are not paying attention to the game. You think the game is over, and you're taking a selfie with the fans, not realizing that Case Keenum's hopping on the field to take a knee in a victory formation to end the game. I mean, what are you doing?
It's bad.
And then joking around and laughing about it as you're walking off the field. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, you should be apologizing to the fans, to his teammates, and to everyone, and to Joe Theismann, because Joe Theismann must have been kicking himself in the ass saying, damn, I shouldn't have gave him that number 7.
Right,
remember Tyson
right.
gave him on the show here.
But how do you do that? How do you not pay attention if you're a younger player?
How do you do that? It's bad. And you're a quarterback.
Well, the offensive lineman
forgets to go on the field or an offensive tackle, you know, something crazy. You should always be locked in. When you're on a sideline, you know the down and distance. You know how much time's left. That's your job. No matter if you're a starter, second or third string guy, it don't matter. You learn it as a little kid when you play football.
Even in a good moment, the Redskins can't still stop from embarrassing themselves. Even in a moment where they win a game, and they shouldn't be winning. They should be trying to get Chase Young and ended up with the top draft pick or, you know, as close to it. I know they're not as bad as the Cincinnati Bengals, but you know what I mean. They should be trying to get the best pick they can in April's NFL draft.
They'll get a good pick. They're 2-9, bro.
Yeah, I know they're going to get a good pick. I get it. But I'm not looking for the Skins to win a game. But they win a game, right? There's nobody in attendance down at FedEx Field. There's nobody there, right? The place is barren and empty. It's an embarrassment. They can't stand the owner. They're having chance of basically, for the owner to sell the team over the course of the game. The few Redskin fans that are in attendance, they actually win a football game. But the cherry on the top is that the rookie quarterback, who's accomplished next to nothing in the NFL, who had Mr. 50 touchdowns with the Ohio State Buckeyes, who's accomplished nothing in the NFL and really has looked looked completely lost behind center. You know, he is there celebrating with the fans of victory after the Moreau interception, not paying attention to what's going on the field.
Yeah.
Doesn't that say it all? I mean, about what exactly makes up Redskin football at this stage? I mean, they're a complete utter joke.
Yeah. It's a hot take right there. Remember, we used to do hot cheese?
They're a joke.
You said a whole tray of mozzarella.
But they can't. They can't even enjoy the victory because I'm saying to myself, when Keenum goes on the field and is taking the knee, I'm like, where the hell is Dwayne Haskins?
I know, look at that. That'll
and then I see laugh. Him on the sideline. I'm like, where is Haskins? I see him on the sideline and he's taking a picture with the fan.
Yeah, no, because you can't, you know, you can't. I mean, where's his position coach? Where's his teammates? Where is some, I don't know what I'm looking at here. They shouldn't even have to tell him, you got to get Dwayne, the game's not over yet. You got to take the victory formation.
Your head should be locked into the game. Doesn't that say a lot about the young player? Does that give you any kind of confidence that he gets it? Does it give you any kind of confidence that he's going to be the guy for the future for the Washington Redskins, that he's going to be the quarterback? Imagine if that happened in New York. Imagine if you had a scenario here where, you know, where you had a scenario, say, New York, L.A., how about New England? Imagine if there was a scenario where all of a sudden Stidham's run onto the field to take the victory knee because Tom Brady's taking a picture with fans and a selfie.
Imagine
if that was happening. That would never happen. Brady would never. Even when Brady was a rookie coming out of Michigan, that would never have happened.
No, I agree.
Wouldn't happen with Darnold. Wouldn't happen with Daniel Jones. Wouldn't happen with Josh Allen. Wouldn't happen with any of them.
And it can go into a whole other topic here, which it's going to sound like a get-off-my-lawn moment, but it's like where the generation's different. You know, back in the day when those guys were rooks, those guys wouldn't have never done that because, first off, there was no such thing as selfies. Second off, there would have been accountability for that, and they would have been benched the following week or fined. And this kid should be fined for this. I got to be honest.
He should be benched.
He should be benched too. Yeah.
Honestly, you're going nowhere. Why not bench him for a quarter?
Yeah.
So that, you know, what are you doing? You got to send a message because if you don't, then it's going to get worse.
But well, it's your team. You think they're going to bench him?
Probably not, no, because they're inept. But but we're talking about millennials. It wouldn't happen with Josh Allen.
No, that's true.
I brought up Brady. It wouldn't happen with Daniel Jones. It wouldn't happen with Sam Darnold. I'll tell you this: Baker Mayfield, as big of an idiot as he acts as sometimes, would it happen with Baker Mayfield?
I don't think it would because he's
super competitive.
He's super competitive, ultra competitive.
Right, he wants to be on the field taking that final knee and basically saying, I beat you today.
Right, he wants to take the victory formation snap so he can stick the ball in the defensive line's face for the linebackers.
Yeah, there's Haskins.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Here's Haskins taking a selfie with, somebody.
Right, and the guy tweets out the photo. I mean, are we serious here?
It's horrible, Moose.
You're an NFL quarterback. Act it.
Happy Monday.
Isn't a pickup game on a Monday at some park.
You're not playing at the practice facility in Columbus.
Oh, my God.
With the Buckeyes here. This is a real game, sir.
He's laughing about it. Yeah. I'd be embarrassed.
Maybe that's his nervousness.
You know what? The one thing I did think at the time, I thought maybe he couldn't find his helmet. I thought maybe he was looking for his helmet. Like, remember Thurman Thomas in the Super Bowl? Couldn't find his helmet.
Yes,
there was Kenneth Davis. They run the football for the Buffalo Bills against the Skins. I'd be like, where the hell's Thurman Thomas? He couldn't find his helmet. I thought that was the case with Haskins. I was like, maybe he put his helmet somewhere. Couldn't find it. And then you see him then you see him taking pictures with fans.
Yeah, it's horrible. I didn't know that. Wow. What, I wasn't locked into the Redskins game, to be honest with you. I was watching the other games.
Oh, it's a joke.
Yeah, it's horrible. I was watching my quarterback throw bombs down the field.
Yes, yeah. We'll get into the Bills.
Bombs.
It's Taz and the Moose with you on a Monday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico, go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes you can save 15% or more on car insurance.
Yeah, we're talking about everything going on with your Redskins and, just the Haskins, how he's not there for the victory formation, taking a snap after a win. He's taking selfies with fans, and the game's technically not even over. So a lot of issues. Let's talk to Matthew. Listening, he's from South Carolina, listening on 100.3 FM. Matt, you're on with Taz and the Moose. What's up?
Hey, thank God for the Nationals for us to lick our wounds with. But, I mean, the problem starts at the top. You know, Bruce Allen brushing this stuff off. We're the new Cleveland Browns. That's what we are. We're the new Cleveland Browns for the next years to come. They should have been diving on that game so we have a good pick. You know, we need to realize, Haskins may not be the guy. It's kind of reminiscent of Johnny Manziel to me. You know, it's not looking good. We're looking at a bunch of years coming up of being very bad at the bottom. So,
Matthew, and you might be right. I mean, I think they are kind of like the new Cleveland Browns. Allen is inept. They're a bad franchise. They've got a bad owner. The fan base is disenfranchised. They're not showing up
Matt,
to games.
We appreciate
it's an angry group.
Yeah.
It was once a proud team, an organization. No longer that is the case. And, I think you could call into question seriously Haskins and really what his potential truly is because he doesn't seem like a young guy that gets it.
Well, I think with this little mistake he made here, I think you got it. You know, he is young. And he probably just really got hung up in the moment. It was really bad judgment by him. I told you, I saw him in that thing with what's his name from the Fort Mooch. I saw him in that
Steve Mariucci.
I saw him on there in that quarterback camp type thing during the when he was coming out of the draft. And he seemed like a really good kid who was locked in, an intelligent kid. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but Tess, tell me the guy. Tell me the other quarterback. Has this ever happened before?
Not that I know of. With another quarterback? No, not that I know of. I've never seen that. Maybe they're
running onto the field late, or maybe, you know, where they're taking a selfie with the fans, Tess. I mean, when is that happening?
I know. That's not paying attention.
I understand. I don't want to judge it just based on...
How long you
want
to punish him for, though? Do you like him as a player?
I don't know what I like. I don't think he's been all that impressive. I got to be honest with you. But right. I also don't think he's got a lot to work with. I don't think it's a great staff. I don't think it's a great staff. And, you know, I think when they drafted him, they felt like he was a raw quarterback to begin with. I think he's got the skill set, but there is an attitude that did turn some teams off about, you know, accomplishment and a swagger to him that did bother some teams, you know, during the draft process. It obviously did not bother the Washington Redskins, but I'm not going to tell you that he can't play. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I think there are things to be concerned about. I think that's fair. I mean, I think what you saw on Sunday yesterday is a little concerning.
Yeah, no, it is. And he's not playing exactly great, and to your point. And the thing is, this is his rookie year, and next year, these defensive coordinators are going to have a lot more tape on him. So it's going to be a lot easier to prepare for him. So he's not playing great right now, and there's not a lot to prepare. There's not a lot to go off of him on, except for the stuff with the Buckeyes and a little bit in the NFL. If you're a defensive coordinator, you know, in the NFL, going against this guy. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I don't think he's going to have a great sophomore year in the NFL, in my opinion. I hope he does. I don't think he's going to though. Let's go to Springfield. What is this? Missouri. I talked to Austin. Listen on radio.com. Austin, what's up? We're on with Taz and the Moose.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up, Austin?
So I just wanted to talk about the – kind of wanted to get your opinion on the Eagles. And, Moose, I love your Redskins rants on a Monday morning. I think they're great.
Oh, thanks, Austin.
I feel bad for you a little bit.
I appreciate it.
I don't feel bad for him at all. How about that? Because he's a Yankee fan. Doesn't feel bad about it.
The Yankees didn't win anything either.
Have a little sympathy. I mean, I know you're from the wrestling biz, but come on now.
All right, I'll be a little nicer. You're right, Austin. All right. What's up, man?
But, I was just watching the Eagles game with my girlfriend yesterday. She's a big Eagles fan. And we were both just kind of talking about Carson Wentz and – some of the throws that, I mean, you guys alluded to it a little bit, but some of the throws that he was missing were just stuff. I mean, I'm not an athlete by any means, but I feel I could have made some of the throws.
There was a
wheel route yesterday, like to Miles Sanders when they were like the 10-yard line or something like that, and he just overthrew him by a mile, and it was a straight shot to the end zone. And I was telling her, you know, I think, and this may be an unpopular opinion, she disagreed with me, but I feel like the Eagles may have gotten rid of the wrong quarterback.
Mm.
Because I feel like Nick Foles...
Was the guy,
definitely.
Well, listen, I was saying that earlier to Moose. I don't know if you caught it, Austin. We appreciate you calling,
Austin,
man.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah, man. You're not wrong, Austin, about the throws that guy misses.
Sanders is a good one. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, but I'm telling you, you go back and watch the fourth quarter of that Patriot game, dude, you'll be like, whoa. Dude, it wasn't like bad routes. The guys were running the right route. He was missing them by 6, 7 feet, 8 feet. You know,
yeah.
Like, it was bad.
And I never, Taz, really, I never thought he'd struggle throwing the football and missing guys the way that he has this year.
I know.
I thought once Foles was out, his team, his franchise, nobody looking over his shoulder. I thought, you know, sky's the limit for Carson Wentz, and you've not seen that this year. It's been more of a disappointment than anything else. There have been times where he's flashed and he's played well, but as of late, he's missing guys left and right. And I can understand if you're an Eagles fan watching that game saying, oh, maybe they got rid of the wrong guy, because there was something magical about Foles in that Eagle uniform.
There was. You know, he had it before
with Chip Kelly.
He did.
And they moved on. Then he went to the Rams, and it was a disaster there, and the Kansas City Chiefs and everything ended up circling on back to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we know we helped them win a Super Bowl.
I just saw the thing on TV.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
I mean, look,
Case Keenum's on the field. He doesn't even.
Oh, my God. It's so
And then look at this. Look, he hands him the ball. He's like, that should be you.
Yeah,
look at Haskins. He's laughing.
Well, yeah, I think he's embarrassed. I think he's laughing because he's embarrassed.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
What a joke.
Yeah, it's rough.
I mean, yeah, look at that.
He's in a press conference smiling.
Yeah. Look, let me take selfies with the fans.
He was in a press conference after the game with his gold chain on, his black velour shirt, and he's smiling. Dude, oh.
I don't know what the question was asked. I don't know what the question was asked.
But we could pass judgment. We're sports radio hosts. That's what we do.
That's right. That's true. You're right on everything. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, hey, Moose.
That's what we do.
Hey, Taz.
Hello. How are you?
Have we shot Weird Al this morning? I don't remember.
No, we're done. No. We're done.
Okay, that's over. He's done.
Why are we done? No, we're done. Weird Al.
No, it's gone. No,
Pete,
this
hit it.
Hold on a second. Whoa, everybody slow down.
Listen, you're Case Keenum. He's Dwayne Haskins.
It's right. Everybody, I'm Case Keenum. Everybody slow down. It's not Pete. Hit it. Relax. Okay, listen. I know, Moose, you think you weren't here Friday. So maybe some things happened unbeknownst to you.
Well, this is my... Wait, hold on a second.
This is what? This is your my what?
Well,
my
this is our
what?
Show.
You said my. This is your what?
This is our show.
You were about to say my show.
No, well, it was a Freudian slip. Okay. It's our show.
You were about to say... That hurt that you were about to just say what you
well,
said.
You made this a decision without show. Me.
Did I say I made a decision? All I said is you weren't here. You jumped to conclusions.
Yeah, I don't think we actually did anything with
Mike
that.
Mike butt out. So okay. you Mike, please, don't let the facts get away in a good story. All I'm saying is, all I said was one simple thing. Moose, you were out. And you go, wait a minute, this was my... And then you stopped.
I did.
Andrew, welcome to Taz and the Moose for your update.
What?
I'm just saying, it's a little weird.
What's a little weird?
Yeah, it's a little weird the way that went down.
It's my fault.
What do you mean? What's
on
a little
Friday,
weird?
On Friday, you were not here. Andrew sat in the chair and co-host with me.
Yeah,
okay?
I know.
He sat in the quarterback chair, QB1, but he wasn't QB1. He was RB1. I was QB1. So that means running back.
Yeah, I understand. Well, it's, right. You're the co-host of the show. I imagine that you'd be running the show.
Yes, I was running the show. And
I didn't think you'd have to state that.
So we didn't play any of that Weird Al thing.
Well, I don't play when he fills in for you either.
Pete Bellotti, he's been a board operator for years. He's a Hall of Famer. We need to give him some credit in his career. Let's be honest. He's a Hall of Famer. We don't say that enough here. And he had a judgment call, it sounds. I did not talk to Pete about this. We were talking about Survivor Series during the break, Pete and I.
I can confirm that.
Yes, Mike was on. Right? And Pete, I think, made a judgment call, Moose. Earlier, he played the Zach Martin, not the guy who trips people on the offensive line.
The guy who does play-by-play on the internet?
There it is. So that happened instead of... And I felt like it sounded right. It felt right to me. Instead of Weird Al. Felt refreshing not to hear the Weird Al. And I think we played that bit and we beat it into the ground. So I did not share this with Pete. I'm sharing this to the public and to you right now.
All right, well, we can rotate.
No.
Hit the Weird Al.
No. I don't. Okay, hello? No!
Go ahead, Andrew.
I know there's not. Wait, whoa. I know.
Just want to read
Moose
things.
Moose, he's here and it's like... The Lord and Savior has shown up. Oh!
Well, he's healthy now. He's at full strength.
Oh, no. So it's just like he just takes
moose.
Over.
What do you mean I just took
right.
over?
Hey, hit it now. All right, Andrew. What are you doing, Andrew? When I go down the road to St. Patrick's Cathedral now, what am I going to do here? It's unbelievable. You're a pope. Pope 2.
Rotate.
Pope 2.
Oh,
pope
stop.
2.
Can rotate.
Pope 2.
Yeah, there you go. Very nice.
I love saying Pope 2.
What's going on, Bogus?
Hey, thanks, there it is. Everybody. The Green Bay Packers went to Santa Clara last night and got smacked in the face by the Niners. Matt LaFleur's team managed just 197 yards, went 1-for-15 on third down.
I still have a lot of confidence in our guys, but we've got to be critical of ourselves. And every one of us, coaches, players, everybody involved, and figure out why this happened, and make sure that it doesn't happen again.
It happened because of the Niners, who harassed Aaron Rodgers all night, starting with a strip sack on the Packers' first possession. Rodgers taken down 5 times total before being pulled in the fourth. Jimmy Garoppolo with long TD passes to George Kittle and Deebo Samuel to get his team to 10-1. They have a 1-game lead on the Saints for NFC home field. New Orleans outlasted Carolina yesterday afternoon 34-31. Will Lutz kicked a 33-yard field goal as time expired after Panther Joey Sly missed from 28. With 2 minutes to go, the rain and the wind and the Patriots dealt the Cowboys another loss, 13-9 at Foxborough. And Jerry Jones, as you've been discussing, was not happy afterwards.
It is a significant setback for our team. We needed this win. We needed to win against an opponent like this. We haven't had them.
Jerry finished his 10-minute opus with, quote, with the makeup of this team, I shouldn't be this frustrated. The Bears held off the Giants 19-14. Mitchell Trubisky threw for a score, ran for another, but was picked off twice. The Jets hammered the Raiders 34-3. Three total TDs from Sam Darnold. Pittsburgh a 16-10 escape from Cincinnati. And the Bucs cooled off the Falcons 35-22. Jameis Winston, three touchdown passes, one of them to D-lineman Vita Vea. Tonight, we have the Rams and Ravens in L.A., and the Colts expected to lose tight end Eric Ebron to injured reserve. He needs surgery on both ankles. It was Montrezl Harrell's turn to lead the Clippers last night.
10-2 for Montrezl Harrell. Crossover on Okafor. He got it to go! Plus the harm! Shake! Bake! 2+1. Montrezl Harrell is a beast inside.
Noah Eagle on Clippers Radio. Harrell shot 13 of 18, tying his career high with 34 in a 134-109 home win over the Pelicans. The Nuggets won their fifth in a row, 116-104 over the Suns. And Sacramento won in Washington, 113-106. Those Kings in Boston tonight. The Celtics calling Kemba Walker doubtful. He sprained his neck colliding with a teammate over the weekend. College hoops, Florida beat number 18, Xavier.
Wait, what did you say? He sprained what?
He sprained his neck.
Oh, he collided with a teammate and sprained his neck. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I thought I missed
Scary her. Incident.
Yeah, yeah. No, I didn't
Went to
didn't
the
hear
floor lifeless, yeah.
Yeah,
the concussion,
yeah.
Right? Was he in concussion?
That's what they said first, concussion-like symptoms.
Right.
But then just
carted
neck sprain. Yeah,
yeah, well, yeah. Carted off the floor was very, very scary.
Yeah, there's so many like little muscles in your neck and bands like that. It sounds like, oh, at least he just sprained his neck. That's
yeah.
That can go for a while. That's a lot of pain, but it sounds like it could have been a lot worse. So
Florida beat number 18, Xavier, 70-65 to win the Charleston Classic. Number 24, Baylor down number 17, Villanova, 87-78 to claim the Myrtle Beach Invitational. The Edmonton Oilers, a 4-3 shootout win in Arizona, and Blues defenseman Robert Bortuzzo suspended four games for cross-checking Nashville's Victor Arvidsson in the lower back, with Arvidsson on the ice, unable to defend himself. Arvidsson's now out 4 to 6 weeks injured from that cross-check. Guys?
No breakup. Andrew, in your update.
Did it happen yesterday?
Yeah, Winnipeg won.
Congrats to the Blue
33-12
Bombers.
33-12 over Hamilton.
There you go.
Congrats to
Very
them.
Very nice, yeah.
Surprise.
I didn't mention the Davis Cup ending yesterday either, so.
How about the Crockett Cup?
I don't know what that is. I might mention the FCS playoff bracket next hour. You never know.
At least you're honest. I don't know what that is. You shouldn't know what that is. But okay, it actually is a real thing. But it's a
if
wrestling.
If Pete knows
what
it is, it must be a wrestling.
It's a wrestling.
Thing,
yeah. Yes. It's a wrestling.
So. Make Pete laugh. It's a wrestling.
Was right. That on the air that he laughed?
But again, not in We Over Nation.
Damn. No, he just smiled.
Right.
All right. We'll get into the
smiled.
Jets. Very nice.
Smile.
Yes. Well, great cup. Winnipeg, congratulations to them. In the cold up there in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
We'll get into the Jets as they continue to roll. And they steamrolled the Raiders yesterday out at MetLife. We'll get into that. Continue our run around the National Football League. It's Taz and the Moose on a Monday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
On CBS for a huge matchup deep in the heart of Texas when the Bills bring their stingy defense to Dallas for a date with Dak and the Cowboys. The NFL today kicks off the festivities at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific, only on CBS. And how about the Jets? We'll get to the Bills here momentarily, but how about the Jets turning their season around? Welcome in the Oakland Raiders yesterday, West Coast coming east, playing an early game, 1 o'clock kickoff out at MetLife Stadium, and they absolutely and completely destroy the Oakland Raiders. I mean, what a performance by the Jets yesterday.
I couldn't believe it. I don't remember who I picked on our picks on Friday. I'm pretty sure I might have picked Oakland. I don't remember, but... Dude, I'm still surprised at this. I didn't watch much of this game. I was watching the Bills game. But, they just put up points. You know, they put up 21 points in the third quarter. I mean, that was the big one right after halftime. And it's obvious, you know, the Jets made an adjustment to something that was happening throughout the first half. They were winning going to halftime. The Raiders didn't make some sort of an adjustment, and Good gosh, that third quarter, the Jets came out a-swinging, man. Unbelievable. And Darnold had a great day.
Yeah, Darnold throws for 315 yards. I mean, I don't know. You know, at the half, they were, you know, they pretty much were dominating the play. You know, they get the defensive score as well off the interception off the Carr. He did not play particularly well. There was no ground game to speak of. The Jets won that battle. The Raiders, you know, want to establish the run with Josh Jacobs. The Jets are the number one rush defense in the National Football League. They won that battle, held the Raiders to just 68 yards on 22 rush attempts. The Jets actually outgained them. Darnold throws for 315 yards, two touchdowns, 20 of 29. Can't ask for a better thing like that. Their defense played well. There's nothing not to like about what you saw from the Jets yesterday, who are now a 4-7 football team and have a, kind of a very, very easy schedule here moving forward. Darnold talks about them. You know, they got the Bengals next, then the Dolphins. Then they go on the road in Baltimore. That's a difficult game. Oof. Steelers home, and then at Buffalo.
Yeah, the last three are going to be rough for the Jets.
The Steelers aren't good.
Right. Their defense isn't horrible, though.
They're not horrible, but that's a winnable game. I mean, if you beat the Raiders at home, you can beat the Steelers.
Listen,
I'd say Baltimore and Buffalo are very difficult on the road, especially, and you can win in Cincinnati and beat Miami at home.
Well, I mean, off of that, I mean, Mason Rudolph got benched, and Hodges comes in, which, you know, I mean, who would have expected him to do what he did? I mean, so he won the game for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I get where you're going, like, but I don't know. I'd be outright, no problem, putting a friendly wager with you on that game now, and that's weeks away.
That game's in Jersey. I would not play that game now because you don't. I mean, we could make that bet now, and then Sam Darnold could break his leg next week.
Well, I'm not. You want to make the bet?
No, no one's making a bet. No one's making a bet a month out. Honestly, so you can.
So you're not in?
No, I'm not in. No, let's see where we are when we get to that game.
Fair point.
Yes. I'm not making a friendly wager or a bet on that game right now. I got to see where the teams are health wise going into that game. But anyway. You know, they can easily get themselves to 6-7. They can beat the Bengals, and they can beat the Miami Dolphins.
I agree.
Before they go on the road in Baltimore, and that game would have relevancy.
True.
I mean, December 12th, that game would have relevancy. Who would have thought that 3-4 weeks ago? They've won three in a row. Can they win two more straight in a row? Yeah, they could. They could win five in a row, conceivably.
And that you know, that defensive line, to your point, and those linebackers on that run defense for the Jets, is as you said, is legit. And that's going to be fun to watch them against that offense of Ingram and obviously Lamar Jackson of the Ravens once they get to that point.
Yeah, because, I think Baltimore will beat them.
I do too, but it'll be a good matchup.
It'll be interesting.
That part of it.
Right, it would be an interesting game where you never thought that game would be interesting in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
How about your Buffalo Bills take care of business up in Orchard Park against the Denver Broncos, 20-3 the final.
How nice, right? Isn't that nice? You know what I mean? It just sounds great coming out of your voice like that. I mean, it's just, I was very happy with it. Listen, I understand. Listen, look, to me, a win's a win. That's how I look at it. It was a dominant win. At no point in the game did I ever feel nervous as a Bills fan watching the game. It was nice to see them air the ball out a little bit. That was nice, you know, to see Buffalo do that. You know, Broncos, Fangio does a great job with that defense. There were points where the defense for the Broncos held up for sure. But, you know, Allen, their quarterback, was 10 of 25, I mean, 82 yards. So the Bills' defense showed up and showed up big, which was nice to see. I mean, and Singletary ran the ball really well, over 106 yards, 21 touches. They really want to run the ball hard.
Yeah.
And Gore ran the ball 66 times. They run the ball a lot, Buffalo, I'm a big fan of that. But when they throw it, they'll throw the ball deep. So they looked good all the way around. I mean, not exactly an awesome Broncos team, but you know what? I mean, it was a good win over a decent opponent, and now they're sitting 8-3. I'll take it.
Yeah, and Gore surpasses Sanders third all-time on the rushing list in NFL history. So congratulations to Frank Gore for how long he's been able to hang around.
I got a little by the way, one more thing I want to say on that. Beasley, I got a little nervous because he had a lower leg injury. He was okay, but I thought it was going to be worse than it was. He went down. I'm trying to remember what quarter that was. And he went down maybe the second or third quarter, and they were checking him out. I'm like, oh, no, we need Beasley. But he was okay. He ended up being okay. Yeah. So he had a good day. 9-6, 76 yards at one touchdown. So he played good.
Yeah, I thought Beasley played well. And how about the Cleveland Browns right now? As they're a 5-6 team, and they knock off the Miami Dolphins 41-24. And quietly, for the last month, Baker Mayfield's played pretty good football.
I know.
327 yards and 3 touchdowns. Landry had 10 catches for a $148, a couple scores. Chubb did a nice job running the football as well. As that Brown team built up a 28-3 lead, the Miami Dolphins came rolling back to make it a 28-17 game before Cleveland spurred away again in the fourth quarter there, Taz. So the Browns win, and they've got 5 victories, and they're starting to get a little bit of momentum going here in Cleveland.
Yeah, it seems like Mayfield's kind of just keeping his nose to the grindstone, kind of keeping his mouth hushed. And not just getting involved with all the drama. And, you know, as we know, there's a ton of talent there. And Hunt's been back now with them. As you said, Chubb ran the ball well. And they also have, you know, Kareem Hunt there. So,
yep.
You know, with Beckham and Landry and stuff like that. I mean, Landry didn't really, you know, I mean, he played good. I mean, not as good as, Beckham. Beckham didn't play as good as Landry. But
right.
They both had, you know, I think Beckham had like 80-something yards receptions.
And a touchdown, yeah.
Yeah, and a touchdown, that's right. And Landry had 2 TDs, and he was over about 150 yards, 140 yards, something like that. So, they, you know, both those guys looked the part, and you're going against the right team in the Dolphins. And, you know, they looked good. I got to say, they looked good. So, Mayfield kind of just looks like he's focused, and hopefully he can stay that way for himself. Just to stay locked in and not get mixed up with the drama. Now we go back and they're going to have to... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no. They're 5... I was just going to say they're 5-6, right? They have the road on the road in Pittsburgh against the Steelers.
Right, which is going to be, obviously, all eyes going to be on that because the whole incident with Garrett and stuff with the fight with the helmet. But neither of those guys will be in the field. There's a good chance Mason Rudolph's not starting, right?
As he was pulled from the game yesterday against the Cincinnati Bengals, in which the Steelers win the game 16-10, and Rudolph was pulled from the game due to ineffectiveness, and he was downright terrible.
He was. He was terrible. And did you expect Hodges to get put in this game at any point?
I did not, but I thought Rudolph was so bad. I mean, and they're trying to win a game. So, I mean, at that stage, as bad as Rudolph was, I think Mike Tomlin was left with no other choice. But wanted to mention one thing. Browns are 5-6 right now.
Right.
At Pittsburgh, say they win that game, 6-6.
Right.
Cincinnati home, win that game, right? 7-6.
Right.
At Arizona. Well, do you think they win that game right now?
At Arizona, no.
Okay.
I think it'll be close, but I think the Cardinals win the game.
All right, I think they win. 8-6.
You think who wins? You think the Browns win?
I think the Browns win.
You think the Browns go to Arizona and win?
I do.
You want to bet that game too?
No, not right now.
All right.
At Ravens home, I think they lose that game.
Right.
And then Bengals, they can get themselves the 9 victories.
That's a good point. Bengals are 0-11
right now.
Right now,
odds are they're going to either be 8-8 or 9-7.
That's a good point.
I mean, they could get there. Browns could get there. As tumultuous as this year has been for the Cleveland Browns, they can get themselves there.
Yeah, they could. Wouldn't that be something? It's just been ups and downs with them. I mean, that'd be something. I hope they do.
But I'm giving them a victory on the road in Pittsburgh against the Steelers, that is going to be a treacherous atmosphere. But they're a better football team. They're a better football team right now than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
They are, especially the Steelers have these injuries right now. The Browns, for the most part, don't. And now with Rudolph getting benched, who knows what his future is this week, I should say, coming up. His immediate future, who knows what they're going to do with him. If Tomlin's going to start him or not, or go with Hodges. Hodges, he gets in the game. He was 5'11", 120 yards, 118 yards. He had a touchdown.
Yeah.
He looked good.
He played well.
He did. My man Benny Snell was back running the rock.
21 for 96.
Come on, would it, Benny Snell? They're not laughing at me now, baby.
And Tomlin did what he needed to do to get a victory. I mean, I think that's really what it comes down to for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was trying to win a football game against a god-awful Cincinnati Bengal team, and he was not going to allow Mason Rudolph to get in the way.
You're going to tell me, Taz, you were right about Benny Snell. Remember when I was hyping him up? Come on, you were ripping me. You and all our guests were ripping me.
No, nobody was ripping you.
You were going to say, Taz, you were right. Come on, just say it.
I about liked Benny him coming Snell? Out of college. You brought him up to every draft guest we had. That was the joke.
He's
It wasn't a knocking him as a player. It was the fact that he was basically your crutch. Every draft guy we had on, you asked about Benny Snell.
All great guests. I wanted their opinion. It wasn't a crutch.
No, you asked about Benny Snell. You like Benny Snell. It's not a big deal.
Taz, you were right.
Yes, you missed Sports Radio.